subject. Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, Phil. How'd you pronounce that? Philologus? Philologus? And Julia. He was Polish, this fellow Philologus was. I want to speak to you. I'm interested to see how that's going to look on the tape, the title on the tape. Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, Philologus, and Julia. And those are the ones about whom I want to speak today. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, perhaps the best of the commentaries, does not even mention them. Adam Clark, in his commentary, one that I've had for years, I was out soul winning one day and won a lady to Christ who was 80 years of age. And she said, my uncle was a preacher. He has something you might like to have. And she gave me an old set of Adam Clark's commentaries. Adam Clark was one of Wesley's contemporaries, I think. And he's buried in the Wesley Cemetery, that Wesley Chapel. Adam Clark, in his marvelous commentaries, says nothing about Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, Phil, and Julia. Neither does Albert Barnes or Thomas Scott. Practically no commentary ever says one word about these people. Now, the other 20 people in this chapter were distinguished for something. They, for example, Tryphena and Tryphosa were twins. And we know something about the other 20 people in this chapter. The apostle closing his letter to the Romans, and he says something about these 20 people, and he tells something about them. But these seven, he says nothing about them. For example, when were they born? Nobody knows. When did they die? Nobody knows. Where did they die? Nobody knows. What did they do while they were alive? Nobody knows. What were their talents? Nobody knows. What were their offices in the church? Nobody knows. Asyncritus, I ask you who he was, you wouldn't know. I don't either. What did he do? You don't know. I don't either. Phlegon, who was he? I don't know. You don't either. We don't know. Had they been talented, musical, or leaders, they no doubt would have been caught with the apostolic camera as he took the pictures of the actions of those in the Bible who were the great giants. It says nothing about these, but Paul did mention them. That's all. He does not say what they did. He just mentions them, and that's all. It does us well occasionally, I think, to turn our backs on the distinguished and conspicuous and think of the ordinary folk. I'm for, and I think we should, honor the men like Al Janney. And I'm thankful we did Tuesday night. He deserves it. I'm thankful we did. He's doing something to help you and to me and to help your children and our children, for which we'll owe him a debt of gratitude forever. But I think the time comes when we ought to stop and we ought to honor the Asyncrituses, or Asyncriti, or something. Get that one for proofreading. Or the Phlegons, or the Hermeses, and those people whose names are not mentioned except in passing. Those unknown ones. I'm so glad that when God made the moon and God made the sun, I'm so glad he made the stars also. The Bible says he made the great light to rule the day. I'm glad about that. He made the lesser light to rule the night. I'm glad about that. But he made the stars also. Now, all of us cannot be an Al Janney or a David Gibbs, and all of us cannot be a Lester Roloff. In fact, none of us can be a Lester Roloff. And for that, we're grateful. But the honest truth is, all of us can be an Asyncritus. And everybody can be a Phlegon. And everybody can be a Hermas. And everybody can be a Petrobus. And everybody can be a Hermes. And everybody can be a... this other guy. Phil. Everybody can be him. I don't want to be him. You be him. I'll be... And everybody can be a Julian. Just the ordinary people. Just the common people. For ladies and gentlemen, there would be no Al Janneys were there not thousands of common folks that nobody knows much about. There could be no David Gibbs. There could be no John Rice or Lester Roloff or Lee Robertson or Bob Jones were there not thousands of people, ordinary folk, whose deeds are not big enough to mention as far as man counts bigness, and whose accomplishments are not great enough to mention as far as man counts greatness. But they're the ones who make the others what they are. It does us good, I think, occasionally, to turn our backs on the distinguished and think of the ordinary people. I think we spend too much time sometimes twisting garlands for generals and building thrones for the famous and sculpting heroes and apophatizing philanthropists. I think quite often we spend too much time on the big ones. For God made the stars also, the little people, like you and like me, those of us that never will have our names on the front of the book or in the headline of the paper, those of us who are the unknown ones. I like to take the name, say, Lee Robertson. I like to imagine people behind him who make him what he is and without whom he could not be what he is. I love to look at a big airplane, jet plane, sitting out there about to take off. I love to stop and think of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of little parts inside that airplane. And one of those little parts can cause the airplane not to go. I'm sitting out there, and we're about to take off the runway, and suddenly the pilot said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have to go back to the gate. We're having trouble with a certain little thing." Now, by the way, on the ground is my favorite place to have trouble. An airplane. And I never gripe about that. But if we go back to the gate or go to the hangar, I never complain about that. But you know what? So often, Brother Ray, it's a little light about that big around that needs a battery that tells us that one engine is overheated if the light is on. And we'll sit there all that time, maybe sometimes an hour or 2 or 3 hours, waiting for one little part like that to be fixed. Now that says two things to me. In the first place, that little part that's unseen and unknown is needed. It can hold up the entire airplane from its takeoff and its schedule if it is not filling its place. I mean, that little Hermes, that little Flagon, that little part in there somewhere, and that mighty jet plane. Oh, we see the seats, the beautiful upholstering, and we see the outside that says United Airlines, the friendly skies, and the sign that says DC-10 on the back, and we see the stewardess, and we see the pilot, and we see the nice lighting fixtures, and we see that which is visible. But way back yonder in the engine are thousands of little unnoticed parts. And how vital they are. And this morning, I could not close Pastor's Week without taking a few moments to turn from the Don Howards and the Gibbs and the Janneys and the John Rices and the Roloffs to stop and look at you this morning and say, God bless you, my dear people. I have never seen in all of my ministry the Hermes and the Asyncritus people and the Julias perform like you performed this week. Mrs. O'Brien said it correctly sometime during the week. She said, "Pastor, I've never seen our people like this. Everybody," she said, "wants to do something for Pastor School. I've never seen such a beautiful spirit. I've never seen such a marvelous desire to help as I've seen this week." And so this morning, I want to take this hour just to say thank God for those of you who did your jobs. And not only those who did your jobs, but those that do your job week after week after week after week after week. You see, folks, most people never lead an army. Most people never write a constitution, but somebody has to type the constitution. And somebody has to cook in the mess hall, outhouse. And somebody has to cook for the army. Did you know there was a time one of the greatest battles of the 19th century was lost because the commander had a fit of indigestion right in the middle of the battle. Somebody didn't cook right. Somebody didn't do his job right. And so everybody can't electrify a Senate, but somebody has to keep the records. Everybody can't make an important invention, and everybody can't decide the fate of a nation, and most people never lead a people out of bondage, and most folks never prolong the daylight for a while and have the sun to stand still in order to kill 5 kings in a cavern, and most people never unroll an apocalypse while living on Patmos, and most people never preside over an apostolic college, and most folks never mother a Christ child. The honest, simple truth is, little drops of water, little grains of sand make the mighty ocean and the pleasant land. You might say this morning, Brother House, I don't feel very important. And you may feel that way today, but there is not a person in this room unimportant as far as God's concerned. And there's not a person in this room unimportant as far as this preacher's concerned. For you do not understand until you've seen, Friday afternoon, about noon, I started walking around as I tried to do much of the week. And I went from place to place and person to person. And I wish you could see, like a well-oiled machine, how everything was carried out this week by our people. Those little people, I don't want to call you little people, but you'd be called little people. Most of you ladies. You will not be a Florence Nightingale befriending the Crimeans. And most of you ladies will not be an Ann Judson serving the Bornesian cannibals. And most of you ladies will never be an Elizabeth Fry doing wonders for criminals at Newgate. And most of you will never be a Hannah with taking her boy or a lad down to the temple. And most of you will never be an Elizabeth with a John the Baptist in your womb. And most of you will never be a Jochebed building an ark for the leader of a mighty nation. But there's something you can be. You will endure the annoyances of housework with its disappointments and abrasions and exasperations from morning till night, from the first day of the week to the last day of the week. And I'm so glad that that's important too. I'm so glad that somebody needed in pastor school to teach the class to pastors. I'm so glad about that. But I'm so glad that somebody needed to take care of the restrooms and keep the restrooms clean. I'm so glad about that. I heard one time about a little shingle nail up in the roof of a house. And that little shingle nail said, "Nobody appreciates me." Everybody passes by the house and says, "Oh, what a pretty house. Aren't the shutters pretty? And isn't the porch nice? And aren't the furnishings nice? Aren't the walls pretty?" But nobody notices me. And that little shingle nail said, "I'm going to pull out." And the shingle nail did pull out. And when it pulled out, a shingle came loose. And the shingle came loose. And soon the rains came and the water came through where that shingle was. And soon the water began to come down through the ceiling. And the ceiling was spotted. And the walls were streaky. And soon the roof began to collapse, to sag, and soon it collapsed. And after a while, the house was not much because a little shingle nail had pulled out. I wish you knew this morning how important you are. I went to my study Friday afternoon, and I just leaped with joy and said, "Thank God for the First Baptist Church people. Thank God." And I went through it one at a time, and all the many jobs the people did. I mean, you're not David, but God needs an Asyncritus too. But you're not a Solomon, but God needs a Phlegon too. You're not a Paul, but God needs a Hermas too. You're not a Petrobus, but God needs a Julia too. You're not a Hermes, or a giant like Elijah, but God needs a Hermes too. It may be that your name is not written in the lights or written on the front of the book, or your name's not on the bulletin, or it's not in the sign that advertises pastor school. But God knows you, and God knows where you are, and God needs you, and so do I. You're just a Julia, just a Julia. To your job has been given the culinary department of the household, and you hold the health and well-being of a few in your dust rag and in your saucepan. You may have not taken lessons in music or painting or astronomy or tailoring or law, but your lessons have been in mixing dough and fixing victuals. In pastor school, you did not teach a class. I think about those who ran the errands I think about those who took a vacation this week and just ran the errands, Ms. O'Brien's crowd. I think about those that sat up there in a room all week long just waiting for somebody to call them and say, we need you to run this errand. We need you to go through to do this. I think about those of you who unloaded the books, the giant, you know what? We sold thousands and thousands of books. We sold nearly 5,000 of the Hallelujah infants alone in 1 week. Nearly 5,000. That's almost as many babies as we have in our nursery here right now. And in 1 week, nearly 5,000. And somebody has to, those books, those boxes only carry 36. Somebody had to unload over 125. Carry them and do them and unload them. Over 125 boxes of one book. I'm simply saying, thank God for those men and those ladies that work the book tables. And thank God for those little young ladies, the Blue Beret, who just worked themselves ragged and just did themselves beautifully this week. And thank God for that army of ladies that had a little room over there where they went and stayed. And then during the classes, they came and like night creatures, and they came out and went to these restrooms and put little Valentine bars of soap and cleaned the toilets and worked there and made them so beautifully prepared for the next break and for the lunchtime. And then quickly when the break came, they scurried back to their room to get a little rest and get ready again, and they scurried out again. Thank God for those custodians that were here all night long, most of the night. Thank God for Randy Erickson. Told me he got to bed about 3:30 every morning, had to get back here in daybreak. Thank God for Mrs. Lanou and her workers, those of you folks that spent all night long Sunday night over here fixing that fellowship hall, one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen in your life, fixing that fellowship hall. Thank God for those people. And thank God for the folks who fix these little decorations around the doors. And thank God for the people that hung these, and thank God for the sign that was hung here, and thank God for Meredith Flopper and Sandy Shellhart, who led in so many ways and yet never taught a class and never got introduced to anybody. I'm saying thank God. This church is not a one-man situation. This church is not a pastor and 107 deacons. This church is not a pastor and a staff. This church is a pastor and a group of people who love God. Thank God for those people that went out yonder Wednesday and scattered up and down the Chicagoland area knocking on doors. I guess 2,000 people Wednesday out soul winning. I'm saying thank God for the Phlegon and Hermas and Petrobus and Hermes and Philologus and Julia. I won't have that fellow's name. In the Greek, that means butch there, Philologus. And thank God for them, those who did that which is so often unnoticed. Most of you men do not gross $500,000 in some great business. You're not the Christopher Wren, the architect who built St. Catherine Paul's Cathedral, but you can teach how to carry a brick up a ladder without slipping, and you can teach how to smooth the mortar on a cold morning with a trowel and a smile while I go when the offering is being taken. I looked around, and I watched you give. I know where some of you work, and I watched you put your offering envelope in the collection plate a while ago. And I went to work with you for a minute, and I wondered how many hours that meant you had to work out the steel mill. I watched a lady put an offering in the plate a while ago, who's a housekeeper. She makes about $3 an hour, cleaning somebody else's restrooms all the time, 52 weeks a year, and mopping and dusting. I watched her put her offering envelope in the plate a while ago. I wondered how many toilets she had to clean to make that money. This morning, after a while, I'm going to count the money. How much will it be? $40,000? I don't know. $35,000? I don't know. $50,000? I don't know. But tell you what that represents. That represents your blood and your sweat and your toil, and your sacrifice. It represents your life that you gave. And I'll be honest with you, I got a lot of notes this week, and I felt so guilty. I guess I must have gotten 200 Reese peanut butter cups just last night. I shouldn't say this. I shouldn't do it, because everybody last night that brought me one, thought they brought the only one, and I shouldn't tell you this. But you thought I was tired. But I'm not the only tired person here. Good night. There are hundreds of our people. The fellow outside you sound asleep. He's tired this morning. He's worked awful hard. And last night, opened the door for an appointment, and there was a Wendy's chili and a Wendy's frosty. And I put it inside, and then I had the next appointment. I didn't eat the chili or frosty yet. I was going to save it. And opened the door for the next appointment, and somebody had come by and placed outside my door a Wendy's chili and a Wendy's frosty. And so I had the next appointment, and somebody knocked on the door. I went to the door, and somebody said, I've got something for you. It was a sack. In that sack was a Wendy's chili and a Wendy's frosty. And so I went out in the hallway, and a fellow met me out in the hallway about 15 minutes later, and he gave me a sack. And that sack was a Wendy's chili and a Wendy's, you won't believe this, it's a gospel truth. Last night I had 11 Wendy's chilies and 13 Wendy's frosties last night. And yeah. And you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to eat them all. If I wanted to do. But I wanted to give a Wendy's frosty to every one of those ladies that cleaned those restrooms. I wanted to give a Wendy's chili. And you'll forgive me if I say this. And I'm not. I tried to remember you last week. I thought about the kids at the grade school. I thought about the kids at the high school, junior high school down here. I thought about the college students. I thought about your housewives at home. I thought about those, the shut-ins that couldn't get out. I thought about those in the hospital that couldn't get out of the hospital to come to pastor school. I tried to remember you. I tried to think about you. And the truth is, over 200 people asked me if they could have appointments last night with me or Friday night or yesterday or sometime today. Included in that was even David Gibbs. I didn't give an appointment to anybody. I want to get back to you. I didn't give anybody an appointment. All week, I'd go to my study and pray for you. See, you know what it's all about. And I apologize. I'm sorry I get all the credit. I don't want it. I don't deserve it. I feel bad about it. I'm sorry. You ought to get the notes instead of me. And you ought to get the Reese peanut butter cups instead of me. And you ought to get the attention instead of me. And I know that. And I'm sorry. And I don't seek it. And I don't want it. But for whatever it's worth, I know you're out there. Paul wrote about Timothy. And Paul wrote about Luke. And Paul wrote about others. But he also said, include Patrobus and Hermes and Phlegon and Hermas and Thalagus and Julia and Asyncritus, include those also. The world looks at Daniel, but Daniel mentioned, or David, but David mentioned his mighty men. The world looks at Saul, but the Bible says there went with Saul a band of men whose hearts God hath touched. The world looks at Moses, but how about those two fellows that held his hands high? And when Moses was on the rock, and that battle was won when his hands were held high, and when they didn't hold his hands high, the battle was lost. I could this morning, and I think I will tonight, I could go forever and forever and forever this morning. Pastor school's over, and the preacher's gone, but this morning, no. That doesn't mean anything to you. Here again. That doesn't mean a thing to you. But I know what it means. That comes on my door every Sunday morning about 9:15. That comes on my door every Wednesday night about 6:15. Just this. I shouldn't do this because that's the code. Now then, if you want me to come to the door, you're going to do that. But I ain't going to do it. We're going to get another code tonight. But that's Mrs. McCarroll's code. Because I guess for over 10 years now, every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, what does it mean? That means I go to the door. That means I open it. That means this big sack in Ms. McCarroll's arms are on the floor. And that means that I take it in, she comes in. And that means I unload a beautiful bunch of grapes and maybe three or four oranges and some apples and some lemons and maybe a loaf of bread, and this morning some pineapple and a big batch of carrots for me to juice. And maybe some yogurt. And 10 years now more. Wally McCarroll, Miss McCarroll do that for me. You know why? They want to keep their preacher well. And she'll come in and she'll say, Brother Hiles, there's a Reese peanut butter cup. She's a health food nut. He's just a nut, but she's a health food nut. And she said, there's a Reese peanut butter cup. That stuff's got poison in it. And I said, don't you nag at me. You got a man to nag at. Don't you nag at me. And she wants to keep me well, and so does Wally. I suspect they bring me $20 worth of stuff every week. You maybe reckon maybe I may have gotten sick in pastor school and couldn't preach Wednesday night. Or do you reckon maybe I wouldn't even be alive today? Huh? Reckon? Reckon? Or how about when this fella wanted to walk up here a while ago, and I'm sure he meant nothing about it, but he wanted to walk up here quickly. Some men jumped there. The men were worried about me Wednesday night at the Civic Center. There were a few suspicions out. And before the service, I knew it. And again on Thursday night, I knew it. And the security men were worried about me. They were worried about me. And they kept extra check on me Wednesday night and Thursday night, extra check, and they guarded. And they're watching. I look out, and they're watching and watching and watching, not letting anybody get to me at all. I wonder where I'd be today were it not for men like that. Nobody knows the name John Jones. There are John Joneses for the thousands in America. They're a dime a dozen. They won the war for us, of course, but they're a dime a dozen John Joneses. There he sits. There he sits. And there he watches. And after a while, when the service is over, they'll line up here in the front. Who knows? I don't know. Reckon there'd be a Jack Hiles if there were not someone to protect him. Reckon there'd be a Jack Hiles if there weren't somebody to feed him. Asyncritus. Phlegon. Julia. Philologus. Hermas. I don't know. The world looks at me, and it's unfair. It's unfair. Something ought to be said about the food under the door. Out there at the college, out there at Crown Point, we have a magnificent college. I think it's the most beautiful campus in America. That college is made possible by Mr. Anderson, one reason. I never met Russell Anderson. Russell Anderson came to First Baptist Church, and of course now, Russell Anderson, one of the dearest friends. And I mean, if he didn't have a dime, he'd be a dear friend. We're down in Alamorada, Brother Bruce Porter, the pastor, is here this morning. And Brother Bruce, such a generous host, and he planned to, I had preached that morning early. He planned to take us out fishing for a couple, 3 hours, and went out deep sea fishing. And in passing, I might add, 165 pounder, 167 and a half pounder, but I humbly say that. And anyway, Brother Porter took us out, and they hooked us up. When you go deep sea fishing, they put you in a harness, and they attach the harness to the reel. Now, they don't attach it to the seat. They all attach the thing to the seat, because when something bites, and you get one on the hook, either he gets in the boat or you go in the water, one or the other, because you can't let the reel go. Now, some guy ought to be smart enough to hook you up to the seat so you can't. But Russell Anderson, and he's not as big as I am, and not near the man, I might add. And I'd caught a 67.5 pounder with one hand, just like that, and then a 65 pounder, you know, just like that. But old Russell got a 45 pound pounder on his hook, and he was the harness to the reel. And either the fish is going to come in the boat or he's going in the water. And all of a sudden, he said, I heard a cry, "Duck House, help me!" And he was just heading for the edge of the boat. And all I saw was, good night. Look at that money going in that water there. And man, I got to save that guy. The whole future of Hiles Anderson College is at stake. And I grabbed his billfold. I mean, I grabbed him. And as he went. But man, I mean, I can afford to go in, but not Anderson, boy. And $3 million he's placed in our ministry here. Over $3 million. Where did it all start? One day, a little short blonde-haired fella and a real blonde wife, little blonde girls. One of them's Hiles Anderson College student now. I'd never met them. I didn't know them. I recall shaking his hand, and he said, "My name is Anderson." I didn't know if he had a dime or $1 million. Wish I'd known. I didn't know. And they came to visit over here in the old building that burned. My soul, it's been, what, 15 years ago, I guess, or more. And so they sat under the balcony, about right over here, in that small building. One of our ladies, Mrs. Clifton, walked up and she said, "My name is Miss Clifton." He said, "My name is Russell Anderson. This is my family." Mrs. Clifton said, "Would you folks..." Nobody knew him, just a visitor. She said, "Would you folks, where are you folks from?" "Michigan, Ypsilanti, Michigan." She said, "Would you come and have lunch with us today?" Lunch? Total stranger? Yeah. And that impressed Russell Anderson. Ah, he never got over it. And from that one little beginning, over $3 million. Look, folks, look. If there's a visitor next to you today, take him home, take him home, take him home. Who knows, who knows, who knows, who knows? I'm saying, yeah, Dr. Jack Hiles. How about calling a little louder, please, and saying, "Hey, Mrs. Louise Clifton." How about that? Thank God for Ashley Critters. Thank God for Hermes. Thank God for Flagon. Thank God for Phil. And thank God for Julia. And thank God for you. Our Heavenly Father.